Well, thank you, Pastor Tim, Pastor Callie, for the opportunity for having me speak today. But as we wrap up, like Pastor Tim said, our Thanksgiving week, or this last week, you know, all the gratefulness in our hearts, I want to talk to you about stuff that's been happening in our own lives. But first of all, before I get into that, in our lives, let me tell you, we will always have different circumstances in which we have no control over. I'm going to say that one more time. In our lives, we will always have different circumstances in which we have no control over. And I'm not talking about the tamales that you guys couldn't stop eating during this time. But this week in my life, this got tested. My life got tested to live a life of peace. We have been reaching out to this family in our neighborhood that has been in turmoil. And we got a knock on our door at 4 a.m. in the morning on Monday of last week. There was this woman that was crying. She was in tears. She had 4 kids with her. And she was just asking us to let her in. This is a neighbor that Veronica has been ministering to. Veronica's my wife. And she has been ministering to her, and we had been ministering to her husband. And this guy was apparently being violent and caused bodily harm to her and almost to her kids, to their kids. The guy came around 6 a.m. in the morning looking for his wife in my house. He got violent. He started yelling, started cussing. And then he left, got in his car, left. He came back around 7 in the morning. And then at this time, he did not just get violent. He tried to break down my door. One of the things, the toughest things that I can remember is my littlest daughter. Maybe you guys know her, Mika. She got a little scared. She's like, "Dad, I'm scared." That's what she said. She's only 2 years old. And this just, I don't know about you, but this has created a whole bunch of emotions in my heart, in my life. And I was thinking, oh man. So I got on the phone. I called the cops. The cops came. They didn't get the guy. But the guy started saying, just coming at us and just in all these different harmful ways, bad ways that you could imagine. He has said stuff to us right when he couldn't get in. He's like, "What kind of a pastor are you?" "So what kind of a pastor are you? You're not a pastor. You've never helped me." He's like, and so he started yelling. And my kids heard it. You know, my daughter heard it. He became very violent after he saw he was no longer in control. He said, "You just want to hurt me." Hey, guess what? Our family got around those kids. And those kids were crying. You can imagine. They were crying. They were angry. I mean, not angry. They were just crying. But the wife was angry. She was in shock. She just didn't know what to do. We prayed with her kids and asked God to bring peace to the family and the situation. They're very disturbed. Veronica and I allowed their family to come into our home. The following night, they didn't know where to go. And we said, "You know what? You guys can stay at our house." I asked Edney to give up her room. I said, "Would you be willing to give up your room so that this family can have peace for a night?" My daughter's like, "Yeah, Dad, of course." She's like, "Why? What's happening? What's going on in their lives?" I said, "I don't know." I said, "But you know what? We're gonna find out, and we're going to help this family out together." And I said, "But we've decided together that we were going to forgive this person." We said, "You know what? We're going to forgive them." This person called me up later on that same day. And he called me again. And then he said this. He said, "You know what? You're always willing to help me, man." After he saw he could no longer come in our home, after he saw that it was going really bad for him, he couldn't come near our house because he would get arrested. After he saw that was the situation, he said, thank you for looking out for my family. He says, "I understand that I can no longer be close to them, but I'm glad that your family is." See, 2 Corinthians 10:4 tells us, For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. See, this is what Pastor Tim has been teaching us in the past weeks, to live an unconventional life with thankful hearts and a life of giving and service so that we can change our cities, so we can change our neighborhoods. But sometimes, as we live an unconventional life, it doesn't mean that it won't run its risks. Risk of you coming or someone coming to your home and trying to knock it down. We fight with, not like the world does, we fight with forgiveness. We fight with love in our hearts. We fight when we're not being loved back. This is what we do. Because this is what God has called us to do. Live an unconventional life. Live a life that doesn't look like the world does. See, my wife and I are thankful for the neighborhood in which he's allowed us to live. You see, having peace is not the same as passivity. Having peace is not the same as being passive. You know, having peace means that you're going to be willing to take a risk. Peace means that we will live a way and we'll choose to live a way that reflects Christ's heart. When there is strife, whether it's physically, whether it's is in our hearts, or when we're going through strife in a situation, we have the peace of God, that weapon that God provides us that is unconventional. And the one we use this week, let me tell you, my family used the peace of God, forgiveness, love, to bring down the stronghold of violence and anger in the life of this person. Amen. See, anger, what it does and what violence does, it gives you a sense of security. It gives you a sense that you're in control, but in reality, you're not in control. And this is what this gentleman was experiencing. Well, I don't even know if I should call him a gentleman, but anyway, the point is, this guy was just so full of anger. And I don't know his circumstance. Actually, I know a little bit, but I know that his life has set him up, or the experiences he's had in the past has set him up for this situation in which he finds himself now. Now, it's not an excuse, but I could understand. I could put myself in his shoes and say, okay, I understand why you did what you did. Now, there come some consequences, and again, he's living those out. But it doesn't allow me to say, you know what, you're no longer welcome. It doesn't allow me to be in a way, say, you're no longer welcome by God, by Christ. See, God lives in our hearts. If Christ lives in our hearts, we are to live a life that is unconventional, a life that is modeled to others in a way that they may feel or wonder why you're doing the things that you're doing. This person hasn't stopped calling me ever since that incident. He says, how's my family? And you know what he said? He says, thank you for answering the phone all the time. It's interesting. Because, see, my mind, after hearing my little daughter say, I'm scared, and just, I'm going to be honest, I got angry. Can I say that? I don't want to say the other word, but I got angry. Because I really felt like, okay, dude, you already hurt your family. You're not going to hurt mine. But I felt such a compassion at the same time saying, God, if I can't help this person, who will? If I can at least lead him to the cross, if I can at least point him to the right direction, if I can at least say, this is where you need to go, let me tell you that's what he needed. And he was just willing to listen at that moment. He was willing to listen. He says, whatever you tell me that I need to do, I will do. Because I wanted to, yes, get out there and someone, you know, I'm gonna put him out there. My dad was saying, Dad, and I mean, he's like, son, why didn't you go out there, man? See, man, the Mexican in me, man, just I was like, woo! was just like, yeah. You know, and I, you know, if you know something about Mexicans, they don't need a lot to get fired up, man. I mean, all you need to do is just, you know, but hey, I'm telling you. So my dad tells me this, and I said, Dad, I said, what do you mean? He's almost calling me a chicken, man. I was like, Dad, what's wrong with you? But he was just also angry. He just didn't, you know, he was just saying, you should have gone out there. That way this guy wouldn't have broken down or tried to break down our door because he did cause some damage and whatnot. So here we are, and I'm saying, God, I'm going to choose to let go of this anger that I'm feeling in my heart. I'm going to choose to let go of this vengeance and revenge that I'm feeling in my heart because I said, I know some friends. And anyway, a whole bunch of other things. Then this scripture pops in my head. Here, Colossians 3, chapter 3, verse 14 says, above all, clothe yourself with what? With love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your heart. Say it with me, rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. And always, always be thankful. You see, it's crazy because I thought about friends that would, in the past, you know, the old Joel would have friends that would say, hey, man, let's go find the guy. I don't know if you had friends like that. Let's go find the guy. Man, I got stuff we can make them feel sorry for ever even showing up at your front door. And that was the case. The old Joel would have been having friends like that and encouraging me. I just never thought it would be my dad. Anyway. But that would have been the old Joel. But look at what I saw this quote. Look at what Brian Houston, many of you guys know who he is, says, and he stated this: the wrong voices in your life lead to the wrong choices in your life. The wrong voices in your life lead to the wrong choices in your life. See, it's of great importance that you have the Word of God in your spirit, in your heart. Because when you listen to others that, yeah, they have a, if you will, right to feel the way they feel, doesn't mean they have the right to act on those emotions in the way that you're thinking, in the way that you want to react to the situation. So the Holy Spirit was saying, stay calm. And I believe it was the Holy Spirit leading me into knowing that God was in control of the situation, knowing that God was going to take care of everything. Not only are we to receive the peace of God, but we are to let it rule in our hearts. You see, rule in your hearts. It means to preside in your hearts. And I know you Dodger fans and Cub fans out there would like this. Sit as umpire there. Govern and control you. Imagine this. So in other words, if it's going to rule in our hearts, it means that we're going to have that umpire say, hey, strike one. Hey, you know what? That was a foul ball. Hey, he's going to be leading us. He's going to be sitting from that place of ruling and saying, hey, this is your next call. This is your next move. This is what you're going to be doing next. Let it rule in our hearts. If we're going to let it rule in our hearts, we're going to be obedient to that voice that is guiding us to make the right decisions. The word render here, rule, is commonly used in reference to the Olympics and other games. It means to be a director or arbiter of the public games, to preside over them, and listen, to preserve order and to distribute the prizes to the victors. The peace of God is intended to bring order. You know what I believe? When the enemy came at us, came after this family, he wanted to disturb the order that was in our neighborhood. And the choices that the Holy Spirit allowed me and my family to take, I believe, preserve the order that the enemy intended to disturb. And let me tell you that that's what God has called us to do in our neighborhoods, in our cities, in the places where God has allowed you to live. That's what you are and me are supposed to do, which is preserve the order. In other words, hey, in this neighborhood, Christ is who rules. Christ is the one that calls the shots. So let me tell you, when the enemy wants to come and disturb your heart, when the enemy wants to come and bring disorder, you tell it. Hey, with your choices, with what you have to say, with the promises of God, you stand firm and say, Holy Spirit, take over. Take over. According to Oswald Chambers, in one of his devotionals, it says, two boats can sail in opposite directions in the same wind, according to the skill of the pilot. The pilot who conducts his vessel on the rocks says he could not help it. The wind was in that direction. The one who took his vessel into the harbor had the same wind, but he knew how to trim his sails so that the wind conducted him in the direction he wanted. It's the same wind. In other words, God's peace that comes from Christ Jesus is what we need in order to make his wise choices and not get thrown and slammed into the rocks of life when things get tough. You know, my dad, after he encouraged me, like, go outside. My sisters came, and then they're like, Dad, what are you doing? You're trying to get him in jail as well? You know? Because, again, one thing leads to another, doesn't it? The calling of the children of God is to live a life of peace. It's our calling. As the peace of God sets in our hearts and becomes the norm for every situation, it is also the calling that God has given to us to live out and not let anyone or anything take that away from us. God has called us to be peacemakers. But it's really hard to be peacemakers when we are also full of turmoil. When we are also full of anxiety, of anger, of violence. My question to you this morning is, what is living and presiding in your heart? What have you allowed to come in and bring disturbance or take away the order that God has given us as an inheritance, as a promise by God? Colossians 3 reminds us, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. See, it's a matter of living, not a matter of experiencing. How many of you guys have experienced the peace of God? Amen. But it's not about just experiencing the peace of God. It's about living in the peace of God. That means you wake up in the morning, you find peace. That means you go to bed and you find peace. That means you wake up the next morning and you have peace. You're living out the peace of God. You're living in the peace of God. You're not just experiencing the peace of God every now and then. And then you let it go whenever your boss comes around or tells you a bunch of things. No, we live in peace. We are called to live in that peace. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9 states this, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. These blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed, that there's blessings that come for being peacemakers. There are blessings that come when we are operating God's peace, and they're amazing. The blessings of God for being a peacemaker are amazing. When we live out the peace of God will provoke questions in the lives of those who are not letting the peace of God rule in their lives. There's some sort of wonderment that causes others when God's peace shows up. I'm going to invite you to go to chapter 4 of Mark. Mark chapter 4 says, or you can look up in the screen, and it tells us this. Verse 35-41 says, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the winds died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." They asked, "Who is this?" Have you ever asked yourself, "Who is this? What is this? Why am I feeling this way? Why is it different? Why does it feel different? Why am I not angry like I was before?" Jesus is peace. When he is inside your boat, he makes any element of your circumstance be quiet and still. He's actively in charge of your circumstance. Sometimes we forget that, though. Sometimes we forget that Jesus is with us. Sometimes we forget that he hasn't forgotten about us, but we do. We forget that he is actively in charge of our situation. He is actively moving on our behalf, moving us forward, driving us to the goal, to the end goal, to see him once again, to believe in him. But another thing that this will cause is when we say, "Who is this?" It will bring wonderment. When we believe in the life of peace that Jesus has called us to live, it will bring wonderment in others, because the peace that he brings cannot be understood. You see, when Jesus said, "Quiet and be still," again, I want to emphasize the word, "and said to the waves," his voice, his words bring peace to any circumstance that you may be crossing or going over. It's his promises. He said to the waves. It was his power, the power of his word, the power that only comes by knowing his word and the importance and the authority that his word has. The authority that his words, his promises hold on your behalf. Sometimes we forget to claim and grab a hold of those promises and grab a hold of what he has told us already. And the fact that he is with us, his presence makes it all better. Even if that those waves would have came, let me tell you that Jesus would have woken up and things would have been calm. Because what? Because he was with them. But they were afraid. They were afraid. It's not about just knowing something. It's about knowing someone. The peace of God is not something. The peace of God is someone. His name is Jesus. He is peace. He is our peace. The peace of God, it's not only the calling of the children of God, but it's also our promise. Now, his promises bring comfort to our souls when we find ourselves in turmoil. He is your comforter, and his peace is available to us every day. Listen to what John chapter 14, 27 says. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. And I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not," again, what is that word? "Be afraid." What is he telling us? In other words, fear robs us from his peace. See, he's given us a promise. "My peace I give you." How many of you guys have peace? Some of you guys doubt it, huh? You guys are like, "I don't know. Do I?" No, you do. "Peace I leave with you." Sorry for that accent. Leave. There we go. I'm going to go home. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you." "And I do not give it to you as the world gives." In other words, don't try to understand it. Just receive it. Make it yours. Know that you have peace. Know that you have peace because he has given it to you. So if there are blessings that come from above because we live a life of peace, the enemy knows that. And the enemy of our souls wants to rob us from those blessings that come from living a life of peace, a life that is unconventional in a way that we live out peace, that others may wonder why you are so calm even when everything else is falling apart around you. So what robs us from that peace? Yeah, fear robs us from that peace. Fear. Fear and shame are agents that rob us from our peace. Both have their root in control. They both have and work in conjunction with control. When we have fear, it's because we want to control the situation. We want things to go our way. We want things to do come out and have the outcome that we expected in our minds would come out. But when they don't come out the way you expected them, then you start panicking. That's what happened to the disciples. The disciples were wondering, hey, we're going to have a smooth sail, you know, across the ocean. We're going to sail smoothly. But guess what? The waves started coming into the boat. Hey, this is not supposed to happen. Again, it's about expectations. Sometimes we expect that our lives are going to be smooth sailing. But no, let me tell you that life with Christ is not smooth sailing. But he promises peace even in the midst of the storm. But sometimes our expectations set us up for failure. Or set us up so that we ourselves sabotage the peace that God has given us. God wants us to live a life of peace. Shame does the same thing. You're not worthy. How can you come before the Lord your God after you've done what you've done? Shame will say, hey, I can't even go to church because, man, I've done so many bad things. How can I go before the God, the holy God, the God that loves me so much, even though he loves me, I know that I'm not worthy of him and I can't go to him. So shame will rob you from receiving God's peace in your life. So what do we do? So what do we do? What do we have to do? Yeah, we have to forgive. And we have to forgive ourselves most of the time when we're living a life of shame or living a life of fear. We have to say, God, I'm gonna move away from the fear that's hindering. So I'm gonna start believing your promises. For the fear that wants to separate me from you, from your presence, I'm gonna believe your promises. I'm gonna put my hope in you, Lord. My hope is in you. That is what I'm gonna choose to do today. And then that shame that wants to come against me, I'm no longer ashamed about what I've done because you have forgiven me, because your blood has covered me and has taken away every sin that has hindered me for so long from coming into your presence. The enemy knows the blessings that come from living a life of peace. So he'll try to get you into doing something that would be shameful. You know, there are many things that were running through my mind as this guy was trying to knock my door down. And I was thinking, like, headlines, pastor thrown in jail for messing this guy up, right? And then these other things that were just going on out in my head, I'm like, man, no, Lord. I'm like, what am I thinking? And again, there's all these thoughts that were coming to my mind. Because the enemy wanted to rob my peace. And I said, Lord, no, I'm not going to choose to do that because you have not called me to that. But I know that the enemy would want to set someone up so that he would feel ashamed about what he's done, so that he would no longer move towards the calling and the purpose that God has for that person in their lives. And I don't know about you and what your story is. But if you're here today and there's something that you've done and you feel like, man, I feel the same way. I can't go into serving or being in a ministry. I mean, look at my life is not right. How can I be serving God even when I know I've messed up? Let me tell you, give that over to the Lord. Because he wants to be your peace. He wants you to no longer think about those things that are robbing you from the peace that you need to experience. And not only experience, but live. Live out and be every day as a part of your daily life and have that as your daily life. The peace of God, it's not only our calling, it's not only our promise, but it also requires us to action. Say with me, action. It requires us to move. It requires us to go after those things that God has called us to go after. God's peace does not mean we dwell in passivity. Again, it's not passive. God's peace, it's rooted in action. You know, when we talk about peace, if you go back to the root word of shalom, you know, that Hebrew word, shalom. Many of you guys know that word. That's a word that used to be used or is still used, actually, in Arab countries and, you know, places among the Jews that when they see you, they say shalom. In other words, that means peace be with you or peace to you. But that word shalom, it doesn't just mean like peace. Oh, yeah, I wish you have peace. But it means peace in a way that it requires peace to be in all of you. It's the whole person. It's not just peace and later, you know? No. It's everything. Everything you own. Everything you are. Everything you feel. Everyone around you. Peace be in your household. Peace be with you. Peace be when you come in, when you go out. Peace would follow you everywhere you go. In other words, that's what peace is all about. It's not just of something we experience. It's something we live out. It's something we are. It's something that God will bring to our households. See, if we want peace in a relationship, that means that you need reconciliation. That requires an action. What does that require? It requires either I have to go and ask for forgiveness, or I have to be willing to forgive. Especially in these holidays, we think about those loved ones, don't we? They're away from us, that we wish were close to us, but because of unforgiveness, they choose, or we choose, not to embrace them during this time. It's a choice that we make to either forgive or ask for forgiveness. What will you choose today? That's peace in our relationships with other people. It may be a brother, it may be a sister, it may be your dad, your mom. Who is that person in your life that you have yet to call to have peace in that relationship, in that person, with those people around you? It may be peace in our health. And I was sharing with Pastor Tim yesterday about how this spoke to me in particular, how health in our lives is important. When we talk about peace, it means that you're whole in your body. And sometimes the enemy would want to come and bring sickness to our body, or even sickness that we bring on ourselves, or sickness that's unexpected, that just comes. But God wants to bring peace in that area. And God was speaking to me and saying, man, when my family, you know, you have these family members where they're like, hey, you look blessed, you know, but they really meant you look chunky. You know what I mean? You have those family members. Especially during these holidays. Like, hey, God's treating you well, isn't he? And I'm like, all right. You know, I'm hiding, you know. Anyway, the belly. And you don't drink beer, man. And I'm like, hey, easy. So it's like, they're like, it's not a beer belly. But it was funny to hear them say that, but at the same time feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit saying, you need to get in shape, buddy. You need to be whole in this area. You need peace in this area. Because if God wants us to go the distance, we can't continue going the distance if we keep adding stuff that is not going to be healthy to our bodies. So to bring peace in this body, God was saying, you need to start making the right decisions when you eat, the right choices. Like, oh, man, you mean I can't eat that dozen of tamales? No, you can't eat that dozen of tamales anymore. What does that mean? It means that you have to stop cutting soda off your diet, you know? It means that you have to change your lifestyle, your eating habits, so that you can have peace. If you're going up a mountain and you want to go up that mountain and you don't have that, you don't have peace. Because you're like, man, I wish I could go up there, but I can't. Because my health will prohibit me from going up that mountain. The other thing was that it was impacting my family members, because now they were starting to get worried for me. Like, hey, son, you know your grandfather suffered diabetes. And now they're trying to do the fear thing. You know, it's like, you know, you're, you know. And so you have to take care of yourself. It's something that you inherit. And I'm thinking like, my goodness, man, I want to just be thankful for the soda I'm drinking today. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. But they just kept going at it. But I understood where they were coming from. They were caring for me. And they were being, yeah, a little bit, you know, just adamant about my health and whatnot. But I could understand as I was getting ready for the message this morning that God was saying, hey, if you're going to have peace, you need to have peace in every area of your life. If we want peace in our city, that means that we need to go out. It means that God's peace lives in me, and I have to be willing to get involved in my city with my neighbors to bring peace. It often means it requires a sacrifice from those agents of peace who give their life in service to others. We have to be willing to give up stuff. You know, it was really cool to talk to Annie about giving up her room, saying, will you be willing to give up your room so that this family can, man, she was so excited. She's like, yeah, Dad, like, why are we doing this? It's almost like it was really cool to just be able to welcome another family so that they could experience peace. But it was about taking a risk and saying, you know, we're going to serve this family. We're going to be living actively in our community, in our city. If there's someone that comes, it means that you're going to have to give up stuff. It may be a room. It may be a car. It may be, you name it. Whatever you have to give to others, that's what it means. You're going to be sacrificing so that others would have during these holidays, during this time around, and not just during Christmas time, but live a life that is always being generous towards others. To have peace not only means that we are to live, have peace in our relationships, in our health, with our in our city, but peace in our finances as well. You know, we have a class that we teach twice during the year, you know, in the spring and the fall. It's called Peace University, Financial Peace University. And I like the Financial Peace University part because it brings peace to your home, doesn't it? With your finances. When you can't pay the bills, what does that happen? What does that do to your heart? Gets you all worried, wondering, man, how am I going to do this? How am I going to be able to pay for this? How am I going to be able to provide for my family? And it brings all this turmoil with it. So again, peace in our finances doesn't mean that, oh, well, I believe God for his peace and he's going to do it all well. No, it requires action from your part to make the right choices again, to save and set apart for those needs, for that retirement fund, for that family that you want to bless during the holidays, for that, you know, other the people that are around us that are asking for things and stuff like that. Hey, praise God for that. But that means that we need to be at peace in our finances, in our spirituality. Again, when we have done something that sets us apart from the Lord, if we want peace in our spirituality, we need to give those things up to him. But this means that I will set myself apart from those things that hinder God's peace from ruling in my heart. In other words, you're going to set yourself apart to seek him out, to be in his word, to be in prayer, to seek his presence. When someone comes your way and tells you, hey, you're not going to be able to make it. You know, the doctor said this. You know, the teacher called and said this. When you have those kind of words come your way and they disturb the order, disturb the peace that's in your heart, I recommend that you would get in his presence. Turn on a few worship songs. Get into his word. Read what he says about your situation. Choose to believe him and put your hope and root your confidence in his promises to get you out of the situation in which you find yourself. And the last thing I want to mention is peace in our nation. This means that I will love and embrace those that God is bringing to me, no matter what their color of their skin is, what the country or origin they're from, or what political party they may be a part of. This means I will feed, I will clothe, I will give, because this is living a life of peace, an unconventional life. Unconventional means just that it's not the way the world would see it and would do it. I will bless them because that's what God's called me to do. God's peace requires action. He's expecting us to have our hope rooted in his promises. His peace is one of his promises. So let's act on it. Our faith is rooted in his promises. That what he said he would do will happen. And I hope that that would be a message that you get today, that whatever he said he's going to do, fear tries to extinguish faith so that we will not believe in what he has said. But let me tell you, it's true. He is faithful. He is faithful to the end. What he said he would do, he's going to do it in your life. He's going to redeem all things in your life for good so that you and I can glorify him every day of our lives so that we can say yes and amen to all of his promises. So we can say, yes, Lord, you didn't just say it. It came to pass. Just like the disciples saw as soon as he spoke those words, quiet and be still, they saw They saw the promise of God. They saw his word come to pass right there and then and cause wonderment in their lives, saying, who is this? I pray, my prayer is that you would experience that this in these holiday, in this holiday season, that whatever he said he would do, that he would do it in your life, and that you would glorify him and say, God, who are you? Show yourself even in a greater way in my life. The last scripture I want to share with you is James chapter 3, verse 17. And it says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, the peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Just like sowing requires hard work and it requires us to look toward a final outcome of reaping and waiting, in the same way we are to be diligent to continue to till the ground of our hearts, to turn over anything that does not belong there and sow and begin to start sowing the right seeds, the seeds of love, the joy, the peace. So nothing or anything that wants to rob us from our peace will rob them. Let us reflect as we enter the Christmas season. Let us reflect in his peace. Let us receive the Prince of Peace with open arms. His presence brings peace to our souls. And I don't have time to get into this scripture, but if you read Luke chapter 2, you would find a man at the beginning of that chapter, a devout and righteous man called Simeon, that took Jesus in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. This person, devout and righteous, was waiting for the promise of God. He had been promised that he would not die until he saw the Savior of the world. And this, he was holding the promise of God in his arms and praising Jesus, and praising God, saying, God, you may now dismiss me in peace. See, when Jesus' presence is in our midst, there's peace that you cannot understand. You just know. The Prince of Peace, the one who has, who is, who will, and forever give us peace through his Holy Spirit, is in this place, church. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. But he is in this place. Our peace is rooted in his promise. Will you embrace him today? Will you say yes to the Prince of Peace today? Will you say, yes, Lord, bring peace to my circumstance, to my situation? What is it that's robbing you from having and receiving peace today? Is it someone you need to go ask for forgiveness? Is it someone you need to forgive? Do you need to forgive yourself from that? What will you do today and this week to be an active agent of peace, a peacemaker, that others would say, you are always willing to help. You're always willing to come alongside me and lead me to the cross, lead me to Jesus. Will you be that person this week to someone?